Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Empowered Together podcast and video show on incandescentwomen.com. Of course, on Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. We are thrilled today to talk with one of our new members to the Empowered Together Network, Margarita Cheng, CFP Pro, a longtime incandescent client who we've been working with, gosh, Rita, since when we met in 2012. It's amazing to see what you have accomplished in the decade since then. More than a decade, right? And we're going to share that today on the episode. And we're going to point people to your website, which I have the privilege of managing and maintaining, margaritacheng.com. And we've also had the opportunity to publish two of your books, Wealth Management Rules and Diary of a CFP Pro. I just love those books because they're packed with really great information for women and men, of course, on how to manage their money properly. And we just finished last year, episode 105 of your podcast and video series, Margaritas with Margarita Cheng. I love that show because it's 15 minutes every Friday for more than a year of just great tips, and you interviewed such cool people who also bring their brilliance to the podcast. So welcome, Rita.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for having me. It is really exciting to be here.
I'm so glad you're part of this Empowered Together network where we bring women from around the world together to share wisdom. It's not your typical networking group, as we've discussed. It's really promotion. I say we're pining for the future we wish to see. Promotion, inspiration, networking, and education. And we're going to talk about the classes you're going to teach to all of our members and beyond on the Empowered Together Network. But first, let me introduce myself. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, founder of Incandescent, and just thrilled to be here to talk with Rita today. So let's jump into our Q&A. So Rita, take us back to the start of your career. You've been at it for decades. What drew you to become a financial planner?
Well, absolutely. I love this question. I studied East Asian language and literature and finance. In college, I actually started out on the STEM track. And when I mentor younger people, sometimes we may not know what we want to do, but we know what we don't want to do. And I can tell you, it's important to try things. Don't be afraid to try things. But it's also important to pause and reflect. And so here's what I mean. I wasn't very good at physics. I have no problem saying it. I actually got a C in physics. It is very, very hard for me. And I was like, I'm going to have a conversation with my dad. You know, I am of multicultural, multiracial heritage. My dad is Chinese. My mom is Irish and Eastern European. And my dad got his advanced degree in applied mathematics. So growing up, I was led to believe I was horrible at math. Come to find out, I was actually pretty good at math. I was horrible at physics. And I told you about the C I got in physics. When I was in the dorm, freshman year, I was helping people with calculus, statistics, econ. And that's when I had a revelation that, you know what? I can take these concepts in math and help people make better business decisions. And so that's when I decided, but I couldn't just do this because when I graduated from high school, I was still pretty young. I was 17. I had to talk to my parents about this. And I said, Dad, I don't think this STEM is like working for me because I got a C in physics. And I was so afraid my dad was going to yell at me. And he actually didn't. He said, I'm glad that you realized that. Now, the fact that you struggled to get to C tells me that you're working really hard. If you got a B, it meant that you weren't working hard enough. So that is to say that sometimes it's okay to persevere, and other times it's okay to pause and pivot. So I studied East Asian language and literature and finance, and my first job was writing a newsletter for English-speaking investors. And I was very young. At this time, I was like 24. People asked me, how could you get a job like that? Well, I knew how to read financial statements. I knew accounting, and I could write in a way that was clean, concise, and compliant. It wasn't about creative writing. And so that was my first foray into finance. But then I recognized that I was using a lot of my skills. This job was paying well, but I didn't really feel fulfilled. I didn't know about the discipline of personal finance. And that's when I met my husband. I said, how could this be that we're both first-generation college students, meaning even though my dad attended grad school here, I mean, first generation college students, undergrad graduating from a U.S. institution. How could it be that despite his family being better off than mine, that, you know, he had a lot of debt? It doesn't mean that he's bad. And it's just his family didn't really talk about money. And that's when I said, you know what, if we're going to have a future together, we have to, I can't say this is your debt, this is my savings. And so I kid you not, I put my head down. In 2.5 years, all the credit card debt was paid off, car loan, student loans, had enough money to buy a house, gave birth to 2 kids. And at that point, I decided I want to take what I learned in corporate finance and help individuals and families. It's a long story, but that's the fast forward version, because a balance sheet for corporate finance is really a net worth statement for personal finance. A statement of cash flow is really a budget for an individual or family. And if we can help people make better financial decisions through financial planning, we can transform lives. So that is why I wanted to become a planner. I wanted to change conversations about money and wealth then, and I still want to do that now.
Oh, beautiful. And that leads me to our next question. Perfect. So helping others is a passion and priority of yours. You sit on the boards of so many organizations, and you just were in Chicago, you told me last night, speaking on a panel, and you're just all over the place. And women are an important part of your audience. You really want women to take control of their financial futures. So talk us through that. Why do you feel that way? And what can we all learn from you as women managing our money?
So I always tell, this applies to men as well, but I really believe that everyone, particularly women, deserve access to competent ethical advice. I want every woman, no matter what her relationship status, no matter what her age and stage, to have clarity about the options available to her. Confidence to know that when she makes a decision, she is making the one that is right for her personal and financial circumstances, and the sense of control. Sometimes people hear the word control. Oh, you're a control freak. No, I want them to know that they can focus on what they can control. We can't control the stock market. We can't control the news feed, but we can control how we plan, how we save, how we invest, and how we react to all that. So clarity, confidence, and control. I want every woman to have a seat to the table. It is okay if her spouse or partner takes a lead in the financial matters, but I want to invite her to the table. And this was very profound for me. In fact, this client shared this with me. She actually passed away last month. A worried mate. She passed away March 27th, actually, so the month before last. And she died at the age of 82. And I first started working with her when she was 68. It's never too late to work with the right planner. And this is what's interesting. I met her and her husband, and her husband always took like a lead role. And one day she came to the meeting. She'd always come to the meeting, but this time was special. She had like a journal and she was taking notes. And the husband said, look at you. That is awesome. You're coming here like prepared, ready to listen, taking an active interest in your finances. But he wasn't saying it in a disrespectful manner. He's like, I'm so proud of you. And this is what she said to me. And when I think about it, I'm going to start to cry. She said, I'm taking an active role in my finances because Rita's actually taking an active role in taking an interest in me and who I am. So that was very profound for me. And kudos to her husband. He actually thought she was going to outlive him, but we lost her to kidney disease. He said, I wanted to hire you, Rita, because I wanted to make sure, because he had a scare with cancer, that if I weren't here, Janice would have someone to relate and connect to. It told me that it's never too late. And that was incredibly profound for me. She's like, I'm taking an active interest in taking notes. Because Rita is taking an interest in me and what I have to say. So that's why it's so important.
And research shows that women who lose their spouse, their husbands, who had been working with a male financial planner, gravitate to the female financial planners because they feel seen and heard. So I think this is an example of that. Good for her husband to have hired you as well, because you're so amazingly good at what you do. But I still think that that's really interesting that women aren't seen and heard by so many financial planners who it's an industry mostly packed with men.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to respect and honor both parties. So I tell people it is okay if you have a different feeling about risk. It is okay if you have a different feeling about what is an essential expense and what is perhaps maybe a variable or lifestyle expense. Notice I didn't say discretionary, because what is discretionary to one person is essential for someone else. And I tell people, I want to know what's important to each one of you as individuals. However, we will plan as a couple. That can be concrete. So one spouse had this idea. He's like, in retirement, we're going to have only one car. We'll share. And by the way, the wife had two pensions and Social Security. So she's like, no, that's not going to work. I'm not going to sit at home waiting for you to come home after golf. I worked. Like, for me, having my own transportation freedom is important. He's okay. He's like, what about housekeeping services? We're going to have more time home. Like, we don't really need that. She's like, no. But they didn't get an argument. It was important. Because me, as the financial planner, didn't tell them what to do. I'm facilitating a conversation, what she thought was important to her. You know, she's a school teacher. Her day starts early. She wanted to be able to have freedom, to be able to do things. He was thinking that, oh, we can cut these expenses. So the financial planning conversation actually brought them together. It was not like a serious argument, but there was like, oh, here's how we can save money. She's like, no, now that I'm retired, I don't need to spend as much money on clothes or, you know, eating out. Like, I'll cook more, but I really do value having, you know, housekeeping. And I really do value, you know, being able to just get in the car and drive and meet someone for coffee.
I love that story. Yeah. Again, empowering people. And because of your wisdom and insight, you have won so many awards, and you're on the board of the Certified Financial Planners. So talk a little bit about, from that perspective, what you're seeing today and what you're seeing coming in the future. This is a really volatile time here. It's in May 2025. So talk about your perspective on the future.
Well, one of the reasons why I do serve on a lot of these boards and I volunteer a lot is I care about the profession. I want to work in the profession and work on the profession to make it more supportive and inclusive for all. When I say supportive and inclusive for all, I don't just mean the people working in a profession. I also mean clients, because it's important that our profession reflect and represent individuals in the communities where we live and work. And I have been working very hard on this since like the beginning of time. In fact, I had a mentor say to me, he's like, Rita, you need to join these associations, and I don't want you just paying your dues. You need to volunteer. And in that time, I didn't even have three kids, only had two. I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? Like, I have to grow my business. I have to study for the CFP certification exam, and you want me to like volunteer. But it's been the best decision, because I developed my confidence as a leader. I also got to meet a lot of authors and speakers and subject matter experts, which was amazing, because not only am I increasing my knowledge, I'm expanding my network. And I think that's what I find incredibly enriching. The thing that I think is so important is, as our profession evolves, people are understanding the importance of financial planning. The stock market has been extremely volatile. There has been a lot of uncertainty. And what financial planning can do for people, it can provide them guidance and direction when the world just isn't giving us. So at the end of the day, the best thing that you can give to someone is peace of mind. You listen to them and say, I understand you're stressed. And then meeting with them and telling them and showing them that they're going to be okay. And that is incredibly enriching work. And I love doing it. I love helping people.
So here we are at this crazy time when we don't know what's happening with tariffs and how that will play out. I mean, there's a lot of doomsday thinking. I'm part of that thinking it's going to be pretty scary. So as we're winding down, tell us one thing that you want our listeners and viewers to take away, one tip that they can put into practice today.
One tip that I want them to put into practice is I want you to understand that you're still a long-term investor. So whether you are 25 or 65, it is true when you're 65, retirement is sooner as opposed to later, or maybe you already are retired, but you're still a long-term investor. So it's really important to take a long-term perspective. The other thing I'll say is talk to people. If you're stressed, you know, talk to people. Don't sit alone and not talk about this. Like, you need to be seen, heard, and your views valued and respected. Once people have someone to talk to and they know they're not alone, that it doesn't necessarily solve all their problems, but it makes them feel better about the situation, that they don't have to navigate this alone. Like, I've had clients for whom I developed their financial plan. I said, what age for retirement should I use? They're like 72. And in the back of my mind, of course, I listened to the client, but I did different scenarios. I did today, what happens if they get laid off? And I also did age 70. And the fact that I did that for the client, I didn't necessarily tell them, but I was prepared. It really meant a lot to them because I said, I have to be prepared. And it let them know that, unfortunately, they did lose their position. Their entire division was eliminated at Health and Human Services. They are going to be okay. If they're not able to continue working because they were diligent savers, and there's things that we're doing with their cash flow. And at the end of the day, that's incredibly helpful for people to know that, hey, I'm listening to them. I know they're not alone. And it can be really comforting to give them guidance when just the world isn't giving it to them.
That is so helpful to know you have a trusted source. And that is you. That is you since I've known you since 2012. So just people need to know more about you, and they can find out all that information on margaritacheng.com. And there's contact information, background, and you are constantly in the news. You are a columnist for Kiplinger, U.S. News and World Report, and so many other publications. So your tips are there and widely available for people to read. But our final question before we go is a personal one. So you are a marathon runner, and you travel all around the world to run in marathons. Tell us about the training that it takes and the discipline and the just how hard you work to be able to do that while you're doing all these other amazing things.
So marathon running can be kind of a grind, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I got to do a long run. But I view it as like my moving meditation. There's all different kinds of runs. There's like an easy run, which is a quick run where you're just breaking out of sweat. Then there's like a tempo run, like where it's a little bit faster. Then there's a progressive run where you get like faster. And then there's like the long run. So I do all these different runs to prepare. I like running because I go on runcations with my sister. My sister lives in Germany. She's lived in Germany since 2001. And I don't want her to always feel like she has to come to America. So we might pick a destination. So the most exciting, I've been to Australia, but the most exciting place that I'm really looking forward to is I'm running in Rio. So Rita is running in Rio, or as I say, Margarita's marathon madness. So I'm running the half marathon and I'm running the marathon in Rio. Now, I'm not going to race both, but the reason why I feel that I wanted to do both is because I want to try to run on as many continents as possible. So I like being able to go on a runcation, spend time with my sister, also see the world. And the best way to see a lot of these places is just when the roads are closed and you get to run through the streets. So there is a lot of training running. I'd be remiss if I did not acknowledge the importance of yoga and mindfulness. And then I round it out with like resistance training and balance. So yeah, there it is. That's a wrap. So I'll let you know how Rio goes. It's around the corner.
That's awesome. And you were in Japan not long ago. And so name just a handful of the places that you've traveled to.
So in March of 2025, I ran the Tokyo Marathon. And then a week later, I ran the Nagoya. And when I run, I really try to identify a charitable organization to support. In Rio, it's a tour, so there wasn't a charity I could support. But in Tokyo, I supported an organization called Koromotachi Naki Kokyo. It's basically Children Without Borders, and it's helping orphans. Some of them are orphans. They're not all orphans, but children in Southeast Asia, so Cambodia, Philippines, and Indonesia, and it's helping the kids be able to stay in school so they don't have to work. Because in these countries, sometimes children have to work to support their families. So that's what this organization does. And then why would I be so crazy to run two so close together? I didn't know if I would get that spot, Tokyo. So I signed up for the Nagoya Women's Marathon. It is the largest women's only marathon in the world. So that was an incredible experience.
Wow. You never cease to blow me away, Rita. It's so cool. Please check out margaritacheng.com and you can see all of her articles and advice and her books. And you're going to be teaching a class to the Empowered Together Network. And those will be include the content from Wealth Management Rules. It's 12 chapters. And Diary of a CF Pro, which is also another 12 chapters. So give us a little preview of that.
Well, we're going to be walking individuals through various aspects of their financial lives. I think all too often people go right to investing, but it's important to take a step back to find out, you know, what's important to you personally and financially. Develop your financial plan, and then you can determine, okay, how should I best allocate? So we're going to be talking about that. Cash flow, debt, investments. One of my favorite topics is Social Security. Social Security is the foundation of retirement security. I know people think, oh, like that's kind of boring. Like someone just takes money out of my paycheck and, you know, it's going to be there. Yes, that's true. But I'm going to make sure that you understand what you are eligible to receive and how you can optimize it. Notice I didn't say maximize. It's not about maximizing. It's about optimization. There's times when I've told people to take it early. There are times when I've told people to delay. And there's times when I'm like, you know what? Just take it at your full retirement age. You don't have to be in a hurry and you don't have to delay. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
I love it. It's going to be so educational, informative, and people get to see your wisdom and ask you questions, of course. So stay tuned for that on the Empowered Together Network at incandescentwomen.com. And as I've said before, margaritacheng.com. This is full of content that you can immediately put into use. So thank you for your time today, Rita. We really appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll see you all soon. Check us out for next week's episode of the Empowered Together show. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, founder of Incandescent, and so happy to have you all working with us. We'll talk to you all soon.